And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Having a great time with a couple of the fishiest dudes that we get to have on the radio throughout the year. Danny Fuller, scientist for the Inter-American Tropical Tuna Commission, and Marcus Medak from the New Loan, and both part of the Shearwater. An awesome boat that we've been talking about here. Four-pack, six-pack charter boat, also some commercial fishing done with the boat, and, you know, just a very cool side project from two guys that are really too busy with their full-time jobs to do it anyways, but it's too cool not to. So I think it's been a lot of fun. And, man, we want to have you join us this morning if you want to be a part of Let's Talk Hookup. 213-432-1090 is our phone number. Or, like I said, Brandon, you can always text us on that Let's Talk Hookup app. Lots of really cool texts coming through today.
Yeah, they're flooding in, and a lot of great questions so far, yeah. Do you want to take a text?
Let's do that, yeah. Right. Also, I should mention, too, we did earlier in the show, but we're giving away a great prize today. One lucky caller or texter is going fishing on board the Liberty today. And, you know, with your text, you've got to make sure that you include your contact information, you know, name and phone number, so that we can make sure to get back to you to get you your prize going fishing with Taro and an Eagle. All right. Why don't we jump back into the phones?
How about David from Laguna Beach?
What's up, David? Welcome to the show.
I just went on Seaforth on a line or highliner, and I brought a new business partner who's never fished before, and he landed a bluefin, but that was the only fish that was caught. And on the way in, about an hour or 2 hours out, we landed just a ton of Dorado. They were just all over the place. And it was pretty exciting for him.
That's fantastic. Well, certainly a great trip, and what a cool way to start things off for a buddy who's never done that before, both with the quality and the quantity. Good going. All right, appreciate the phone call very much. Why don't we jump back in there,
V? How you doing? Tom from San Diego.
What's up, Tom?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Great. Good morning.
Good. You hear me okay?
We got you loud and clear. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. I'm sorry. Hey, Brandon, you said nothing. How you doing? Okay.
I just wanted to ask you
guys a little about the IATTC, which I love. I've been to about 10 of their conferences, very open, welcoming, all the way from the directors, the three or four doctors, Dr. John Luis and Carolina, a couple of the guys, the scientists too, and even the support staff. And I'm just impressed with what they do, how they help take care of our fishing, especially out here in the East Pacific Ocean. And I just wanted to ask your guy what in particular he was involved with.
Yeah, so I'm a senior scientist with the Tuna Commission, and I've been working there for 25 years. I started, I was hired by my friend and mentor, Kurt Schaefer, in 2000, and Kurt recently retired, and so I moved into the supervisory role, and now I'm the head of the Life History and Behavior Program at IATTC, and we primarily focus on, you know, a lot of tagging work, you know, behavioral ecology, movements, habitat selection of the tropical tunas. We also do a lot of age and growth work, reproductive biology. So if you were speaking with Carolina and Mark Monitor and those other folks there, basically all the data that we derive and all of the work that we do goes directly into the stock assessments, and that helps inform the management decisions that are made by the organization.
Yeah, I even enjoyed working the Kobe matrix. You're familiar with that, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All of tuna across the board, do you guys focus on? I mean, is it mostly yellowfin and then we do a little bit of this? Is it everything across the board? Is it big eyes? Is it albacore? Like, what is it that you guys focus on?
So we're actually responsible for management of all the resources that are affected by the tropical tuna fisheries. So that comes into billfish, sharks, mobulids, manta rays, things like that, seabirds, so the organization does a lot of different research, and we have a lot of mandates under the convention that we're responsible for. But again, my group, we primarily focus on tropical tunas, and we've done a little bit of shark work and a little bit of billfish work over the years.
The thing that I'm so fascinated with the stuff that you do is, like, you're not a, I'll put on a lab coat and sit behind a desk 24 hours a day, like, oh, you know, we'll come. We share a, very small world. We share a slip with Danny and his dad, where we park our boat. They happen to be our next door boat neighbors. And, you know, we'll see your dad working on the boat, down on the boat, which also, by the way, is the very best person you could ever park next to, because Danny's dad has the best toolbox of anyone in the world. And Neil and I are always don't have something, and, you know, Bill's got a 12-point and a 6-point and a deep socket and an extension for everything that we've ever needed on the boat. But what I was getting to was, you know, we'll ask, you know, what's Danny doing? And like, oh, he's on a tagging trip. He's gone for the next 4 months. You know, like, you are very hands-on and have got to see some pretty amazing things. And jumping on a boat for a three-month trip is no stranger to what you do.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, and that's really kind of a really important aspect of what we do. You know, yeah, studying things in a lab or you know, doing analysis on a computer is one thing, but being out and living it is completely different. You learn things you wouldn't otherwise.
I'll bet.
Otherwise learn. You know, so it's provided a unique insight into a lot of things. You know, and I've made a number of, you know, longline trips, purse seine trips. You know, flown in choppers off purse seine boats, chasing, you know, breezers and skipjack and such. So, you know, you get, not only do you, you know, get immersed in the science part of it, but also the gear technologies and the, you know, the advancement of modern, you know, industrial fishing. It's pretty fascinating.
It's one thing to determine data on a piece of paper. It's a whole nother to be the guy that wrote all that data down on a piece of paper. Like, you live it. You don't just determine what's written down.
Yep. We tag them. We recover the tags. You know, we have a team of tag recovery specialists in all the major unloading ports throughout Latin America, and you know, we recover tags for a lot of different organizations, including our own, and you know, so it's, you know, it's a pretty vast you know, program, and we direct a lot of effort at it. So
is there, you know, we see guys talk about, like, you know, some of there's so much big industry behind billfish and big money behind billfish, and we see those, you know, satellite pop-off tags that, you know, collect a tremendous amount of information. Does that exist in the tuna fishery as well? Like, is there as much known? Is there more because commercial harvest is so much greater on tuna? Like, what's the information breakdown and tagging info like?
Yeah, you're spot on. Yeah, so there's a couple of different types of tag technologies, right? So you have these mini PATs, pop-off archival tags, which you attach to a fish, you know, and it's programmed to pop off at a predetermined date. But what happens is it transmits through a satellite, right? So it transmits small packages of data. So the resolution of the data that you recover from those is not as great as the other tag technology, which is what we use for tunas, is an archival tag. But that's predicated on actually recovering the fish.
You've got to catch them.
Yeah, exactly. And so we have, you know, been extensively tagging yellowfin tuna, big eye tuna, and skipjack tuna, you know, over the last 25 years. And we have, you know, data resolutions as high as 12 seconds. And so we get a really, really detailed look into the behavior and movements of these animals that you would not otherwise get with the pop-off archival technology. They're both completely
– sure.
They're very valuable tools, but they have different purposes.
Uh-huh.
And so for us, we're dealing with fish that are highly exploited, so we have a high probability of actually getting returns. You know, I was just looking at some of our skipjack return data here recently, and I think we have about 27% of the fish we tag recovered.
Wow, that's way more than I would have thought. That's cool.
Yeah, and you know, yellowfin and big eye, yellowfin's about 25%, and big eye's upwards of 40%.
Okay.
The reason for that is because they have different behavioral characteristics, which tend to lead them to being captured as to not.
When you were on the Royal Star during the tagging trips, and Marcus, that was, I think, the era that you were on the boat too. Did those fish, when they were tagged, like, did they disperse from the islands? Do they just live there all the time? Like, or has there been, I guess the first question is, has there been tagged recovered from that project? And And what was it like? Do you, and if I'm putting you on the spot on something that's, that you don't know, then no worries.
No, so thankfully a lot of that data has actually been published, and it's available. If you search the internet, you can find the peer-reviewed papers that have been published on that. So there's actually two different projects. There was one where we were tagging in the biosphere at the Revillagigedo Islands, and yeah, we had like I think 30% of the tagged yellowfin tuna recovered from that project. And you know, they have fidelity to the islands. They don't really venture too terribly far, but if they venture outside the buffer zone, they get caught.
Yeah.
You know, they associate with dolphins.
Sure.
Dolphins get found by a purse seine boat, they get captured. You know, there were some fish, you know, we did a lot of tagging at Hurricane Bank. We had fish, you know, captured by sport boats from around Hurricane Bank. We had a lot of, you know, recoveries, you know, to the northeast and Puerto Vallarta, you know, over the couple of years, you know, not very many fish, but a few, you know, but the vast majority of the fish stayed around the islands.
They're not making some huge trek in a different time of year, and they're caught hundreds and thousands of miles away from there.
Yeah, they're not migratory in the nature that bluefin tuna are. They have the capacity to make large movements, but typically they don't. I mean, if you're living in an area that's highly productive, is good habitat, right? Is you know, there's plenty of forage. You know, there's really no driving force for them to like. For a better habitat.
Don't leave fish to find fish. They're doing the same thing.
That's exactly what they're doing. You
know? I like it.
And the other project was we were tagging on the Royal Star along Baja California. So we tagged at Guadalupe Island. We tagged on the ridge, Alijos Rocks, and we had a lot of recoveries from long range boats that were fishing those areas as well.
That's really cool. Yeah. I love it. And you said that with a little bit of savvy and a little bit of searching, you can find all the info on those projects?
Absolutely.
That's rad. Yep. I'm going to do that. That's great.
Yep.
Well, hey, a couple of really good texts coming through, too. Good morning, guys. I actually have a question also about the Tuna Commission. My son is in college in Monterey getting a biology degree with a minor in chemistry. Is there a job for him within the industry and or maybe an opportunity for an internship during the summer break? That's from Bill in Mission Viejo.
Yeah, so we don't generally do internships. I have always felt that asking somebody to come in and work and not get paid is not really a fair way to approach it. And our funding budgets usually don't allow for us to hire, technical assistants. The marine science world is a difficult place to get a job. There's not a lot of jobs. I would never, if somebody's passionate about it, I would never try to discourage them from it, but it's going to be a tough battle because we manage a resource, right? Mm-hmm. And we're doing, a lot of applied research that's funded through, industry. And the industry is about making money, right? So it's not like we're producing a commodity or something. So jobs are really difficult to come by. I got really, really lucky to end up where I was. And there are jobs out there. But they're difficult to come by, I think, so if you're passionate about it, the first thing I would say is when you graduate from school, sign up and be an observer on a commercial fishing vessel.
Okay.
That gets you at sea experience, and that brings something more to the table than your peers, and that's probably the best way to start.
That's great. That's great advice. And something that I'm sure not everybody's lining up to be an observer on a boat that goes away for a couple of months at a time, but you get real world, you get hands on.
Yeah. You're taking biological samples, you're recording fishing data, it can be in some adverse conditions, and it really doesn't matter what type of fishery you're observing. It could be the, coastal longline fisheries, it could be tuna purse seine observer, it could be a Hawaii longline observer, it could be a Bering Sea observer. But that experience is so incredibly valuable that it's something I think that all aspiring, fishery scientists or fisheries biologists should consider doing.
That's cool. Man, that's great info. Appreciate that. Hey, I want to remind you about a very fun event coming up. It's the 36th annual Big Fish Tournament put on by the San Diego Rod and Reel Club. 36 years this tournament has been going on. It's the biggest fundraiser of the year for the San Diego Rod and Reel Club. It benefits We Take Kids Fishing, which is a really cool organization. Date of the tournament is August 19th. There's going to be cash payouts all the way down to 9 spots, so lots of opportunities to earn some cash and prizes. First prize is $750 plus a killer prize pack. Well, there's over $4,500 in tournament payouts and prizes. There's three separate side jackpots if you're going to be doing some inshore fishing. There's your yellowtail and dorado. Your three best tuna. There's your three best yellowtail and dorado. There's also a three best of a barracuda, bonito, bass, and halibut. So available for everybody. Starts with a kickoff seminar on August 3rd. It's going to have a huge raffle and a bunch of prizes. There's a mandatory captain's meeting that happens on the 18th at the Wave at the Shelter Island Launch Ramp, and then the awards banquet will happen on Sunday at Portuguese Hall. It's a really, really cool event put on by some great people. It's a family fun event, a really good tournament, lots of good prizes, but it's not too serious either. If you want more information, check out SanDiegoRodAndReelClub.com. Everything is spelled out, SanDiegoRodAndReelClub.com. Hopefully we're going to hear more from Arnie at the later on in the show, who's kind of the vice president putting everything on. But if we don't, we really want to get the word out. It's an awesome event for some really good people, and certainly a fun one to check out. Hey, with that said, it's time to find out what's biting out there, and it is time for the man, Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guy. Today, the Catch Report is sponsored by the Fish Bros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Get the best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Bros the Market, you can purchase their famous spices, rubs, and the Poke Kit. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Marcus, I know this is something you can comment on, too. It is so important to be making reservations ahead of time for getting your processing done. It's been a very busy morning. You obviously being part of Five Star, I know that's a big deal, and it's important. If you want to make your reservation to Fisherman's Processing, give them a text at 619-255-3128. And processing has been tough over the last couple of years with so many long-range boats and so much good fishing. And, boy, it's just it behooves you to get in ahead of time and get your name written down if you want to get the – you know, you want to get that high-end care for your fish.
Yeah, that's true. That being said, I think this year it's been a little easier. I think just because of economic conditions, it's been a little easier for us to be able to be staffed up. So far, I'm part of the competition there with Sean, but we've been able to actually, we haven't had to turn anyone down yet this year, knocking on some plastic here, so we haven't been able to get everyone out the next day, but we have been able to take care of everyone. It's just been because it's been easier to hire enough people, I think, has been the main reason.
That's a very good thing, because there's nothing like having a big fish and then having it taken care of the right way. That's for sure. Hey, let's find out what's going on. We got your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen, on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Great show this morning. Danny, my dad, always had nothing but good things to say about you. He had the pleasure to work with you for a long time, Don Hansen, and he really enjoyed the perspective you brought to everything. He talked about you a lot, so thanks for all that, Danny. And Rick, unbelievable fishing up here. I mean, Dana Point, absolutely insane yesterday. Chris Pico was on the anchor off of a spot middle of San Clemente, 50 feet of water. He got flashed by a school of Dorado. The pictures are incredible. Dorado swimming around the anchor line. Pretty unreal. It's on Instagram. You got to check that out. I mean, I got the opportunity to run sport boats for about 20 years. I never saw anything like that, so that was pretty incredible. What we got set up on the table here is absolutely insane, the volume of fish. The airplane went out and looked around a little bit. I know they talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday. We have a little spinner down here in Cabo right now. We got some rain, we got some wind, and it's just going to push a whole bunch of new water up into your area, so it's going to be absolutely an incredible August, September, October. I don't see the thing slowing down probably through Christmas. There's so much fish and so much bitchin' water. We got a bunch of different pictures from a bunch of different people fishing over the last couple of days. Yellowtail under kelp patties, free swimming Dorado, yellowfin tuna, bluefin tuna, wide open calico bass and sand bass fishing on the Huntington Beach flats, like historic. They haven't seen that kind of fishing up there in over 20 years. Really, really good fishing. And then they finished the afternoons off fishing that barracuda, which has kind of been a missing fish from our SoCal Bite for quite a while. There's just so much stuff going on. Catalina, San Clemente Island, really, really phenomenal calico bass fishing with that mixture of yellowtail. Then up there at the Channel Islands, when the wind was not blowing, they had epic white sea bass fishing. Just full speed, limit style fishing. Most of the boats were getting done before 10 o'clock in the morning up there with the three fish limits. And then, what can we say? Bluefin tuna. I think we're going to have some fish over 400 pounds this year. I was talking to Benny Seacrest at the dinner that you and I were at, Rick, and he said he believed he hooked a fish over 400 pounds right off barn kelp. They were watching the cars drive down the freeway, on the 5 freeway, and he got spooled on his. He said he'd never been spooled, and he's been fishing these things since 2015. So I think we're in store for some phenomenal epic style fishing. Not that we already don't have it, but I don't think there's any reason for it to slow down. And like we always say, the only thing I think you need to do is go fishing.
I think that's a good call, buddy. Well, a great job. And if somebody wants to check in, I know you're always adding content to the website. Always great fishing trip information. If somebody wants to keep up with everything we do that you do, Dave, how do we do it?
Try to find me. It's called Your Saltwater Guide. If you can't find me, let me know, because I think I'm pretty active on every piece of social media on the planet.
Very active. Dave, a great job as always, buddy. We sure appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, you guys, thanks. Talk to you next week. Have a great show.
Say thanks, buddy. Hey, next up, let's talk to Arnie, our CCA representative and a member from the Big Fish Tournament. What's up, Arnie?
Hey, good morning, Rick. What's going on, buddy?
We're
thanks for
a great
putting
time.
A little blurb out there.
Yeah, of course. In addition to putting on a great event with the CCA yesterday or earlier this week, honoring Bill Shedd there, also you're a big part of that San Diego Rod and Reel Club Big Fish Tournament. And obviously, yeah, we did mention it, but a really cool tournament, and you know, I just wanted to get it out. We weren't sure if we were going to hear from you today, but it's a really big fundraiser for the club. The club does a lot of great things with the money, and it's a really fun family tournament and a great time.
Yes, it is. Yeah, the tournament is going to start on August 19th. Lines are in at 12:01 a.m. The weigh-in is between 5 and 8 p.m. The Mart of the Club or Dana Landing, those are the two weigh-in spots. Entry is $90 on Angler, but what we're going to do, we're going to extend the early bird entries. They have to be postmarked by tomorrow, Monday, August 7th, please, okay? We'll give the early bird entry at $80. So the regular entry after that will be $90. You can sign up all the way up to the captain's meeting, which is on the 18th, Friday. And it'll be at the Wave over there right next to the Shelter Island launch ramp. You mentioned the three side pots. The side pots work. Each boat is $100 per boat in each category. So tuna, yellowtail, I call it the killer bees, the bass, barracuda, bonito, and halibut. Our big sponsors, again, a big shout out to English Coast Tackle, Towboat USA, and of course you, Ricky, and Doug from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. We have custom rods wrapped by M&M Rods. Way too many sponsors for me to sit here and list today. All rules and entry forms are at San Diego Rod and Reel. That's oneword.com. That's our club website. And we will have an awards banquet at noon, Sunday, August 20th, at Portuguese Hall. We'll have a huge raffle and a silent auction there.
Awesome,
but that captain's meeting, that is mandatory. If you're going to fish this tournament, you have to be at this meeting. And that is the last time to sign up.
Great info, okay. And a really fun time, Arnie. Appreciate you filling us in with the better details. And, again, if somebody wants to sign up, wants to get more information, is it best to jump on the website?
Yes, you can hit that. You hit our social media. If you have any questions, you can call Gary Morrison, our president, at 619-571-8737 or president at SanDiegoRodAndReelClub.com.
All right, and again, SanDiegoRodAndReelClub.com, all spelled out. Arnie, great job. Appreciate it. We'll see you at the tournament. All right, thanks a lot very much, buddy.
We have lots more show coming up. You're listening to the Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090.
Rock Todd Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Truett West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as in the sporties. There's a good reason for it: fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery, and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
This is Art Taylor of Searcher Sport Fishing. Join Captain Mike Totter, Chef Josh Evans, as a new era begins for Searcher Sport Fishing. Mike and Josh will continue the legacy of excellent customer service, fantastic food, and an amazing crew. Book your fishing adventure now online at SearcherSportFishing.com or call Celia at 619-226-2403. SearcherSportFishing.com, 619-226-2403.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
This is Captain Art Taylor from Searcher Sport Fishing. Your hook is one of the most important links to catching fish. And at Searcher Sport Fishing, we use and recommend Gamagatsu hooks. The Gamagatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with a variety of sizes all the way down to size 4, Gamagatsu hooks are the ones to use. It's important to be prepared with the right tackle when you come aboard Searcher, so that should include Gamagatsu hooks.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Taking your phone call. Phone's been very busy this morning. If you want to get through, it's 213-432-1090. Good opportunity for you to get through right now. We were full going into the break, but we did have a couple of lines drop off. So first opportunity with an open phone line since the beginning of the show. 213-432-1090. Brandon, before we get under the phones, we're going to go live to the tribute. Captain Mike Pritchard is on the line this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
We're doing great. Anxious to hear how the fishing's going.
Fishing's been very, very good for the most part. We've had we had a few days of funky weather there. I know we were out west a couple of days ago, and it was good albacore weather. I can say that because we caught one. We've had some good bluefin fishing, and then we did pick up our first albacore the other day. And it's probably been 6 or 7 years, I'm guessing, since we've seen one, even a fluke like that. And then we're second morning of a 2-day charter. It's Granite Construction Group, Dale McFadden, a great group of guys. We covered some serious water yesterday. I don't even know what it was, somewhere around 180 miles going point to point. We had some very good shot at some nice great yellowtail that's up on our Facebook page, out at the banks. Really nice fish up to about 30 pounds, and then kind of in between move last night, we ended up going up to the bluefin zone and getting some pretty good shots. We had 18 bluefin last night. From most of them were probably 70 to 110 pounds. It was good living.
How fun, man! What a great trip, and to have the trophies to go along with some really nice big yellowtail. It sounds like an awesome time, and it looks like we've got pretty nice weather in our future.
It's great this morning. I mean, we've had a little bit of a residual swell, but this is. You don't have to worry about your Coors Light falling off the rail by any means. So it's very, very nice. And like I said, we light group of anglers. There are 25 guys, girls, and kids on the boat. And there's some people last night that just didn't want to do it. And guys watching, you know, watching guys drop to their knees pulling on these 100-pound fish. And they look over, there's five or six guys hanging out by the porch, you know, and drinking a cocktail or whatever. You guys going to do that? No, 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 no. I don't want to be that person. That looks horrible.
That's so funny.
We're a really good group of guys, just a regular charter here, and pretty stoked. We're some nice kelp fishing yesterday. I know Max was around the Highliner, having one of the boats out of our landing, and found a kelp and loaded up pretty good on Dorado. It sounds like that's a little bit of a thing going on now. You guys see lots and lots more Dorado and yellowtail on kelp. And, you know, it's just a matter of time. We've been concentrating on this bluefin. You're going to start seeing a lot more of that move into the area. And, you know, some really nice, great fish with it as well.
That's awesome. Well, it certainly sounds like some really good stuff on the horizon here, Mike. You got any opportunities to come fishing on the Tribute?
I think we're actually, there's no opportunity to fish with us until after the 22nd, looking at our schedule, somewhere in there. But there is openings. We do have a lot of charters coming up, and I think the next six trips are sold out. So, you know, whether it's us or any of the boats out of Seaforth Landing, it's a good opportunity. You got to love the landing. You know, roll right up, unload your gear, basically straight into a dock cart, and you guys know what it's like over here.
No doubt about it. Great spot. Well, if somebody wants to come join you, jump on any of the great trips, how do we find you, Mike?
Seaforth Landing, 619-224-3383. You can book through seaforthlanding.com, tributesportfishing.com. Take a look at our social media pages. It's Tribute Sport Fishing on Facebook, Tribute_Sport Fishing on Instagram, and we have some stuff posted up. Very nice fish. Big group of guys, and very, very nice weather. We're pretty stoked.
Always appreciate the check, buddy. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. Keep after him, Mike.
Yes.
Take care, bud. All right, well, the phones are packed up. We've got some great texts rolling through. Brandon, got a good text?
Yeah, I do. This one says, morning, guys. I've been fishing when we've come across mixed schools of skipjack, Dorado, and yellowfin, but I can't seem to get my bait past the skippies and dodos down to the yellowfin. Any suggestions? And that's from Rodrigo in Pacific Beach.
That's a good question.
I always just try to kill my bait. If your bait's not swimming away from the boat real quick, a lot of times it'll drop under there and the yellowfin will pick it up, you know.
That was going to be my suggestion. However, having the Dorado thrown in the mix there, that makes that technique a little more challenging because okay. They'll readily grab a dead bait as well. Mm. But certainly if it's just yellowfin and skipjack, that is sort of the go-to technique.
That's the secret.
Yes.
Is it just because the skipjack are just, they'll just out-compete them? They'll, you know, as soon as the bait flicks its tail, the skipjacks are eating it?
Yeah, I think they're real quick, and that really fires them up for whatever reason. Okay. If they're aggressive enough, they'll eat dead baits too, but
a higher percentage of yellowfin bites.
Exactly. Huh. But with the Dorado in the mix also, that I would still probably try that.
Yeah.
I think for most anglers, that's pretty counterintuitive because bait selection is so important on our boats. But years ago, I learned on the Pacific Dawn that actually Mandog on the Pacific Dawn years ago showed me that I couldn't get through the skipjack, couldn't catch a yellowfin, and he started taking my baits and throwing them down on the deck. Basically, they were dead. I was fishing horseshoes, and every bait caught a yellowfin.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's fun fishing. Hey, great one. Appreciate that very much. Another fun text. This morning, guys, I went to the Shearwater Sport Fishing website, and I was surprised to see the boat. It looks awesome. I saw that you specialize in day and three-quarter trips. Hoping you could go over the boat itself. Is there a galley on board? What type of fishing do we do? Is it kite fishing for everybody? Live baiting? What's the food packages like? Things, et cetera. That's all from Sam and Irvine.
See if I can remember all the questions there. But yeah, they're basically 2-day trips that we're doing. We're leaving in the morning. And, you know, travel that first day, possibly fish the first day, be able to fish all night, and then the whole next day is the idea. As far as kite fishing, yes. With a small group like that, there is the possibility, you know, as long as there's wind or whatever, everyone will be able to be fishing a kite, and that is what we're doing a lot of the time. Like the trip we just came back from, I think everybody had, you know, a couple of fish off the kite, but we had fish fly lining as well. Well, we did not have any nighttime fishing that particular trip, but we have other times, so we'll do some of that. Galley, that was the other question. There is a galley. It's small, but it's inside. We have a table. We can seat four people at a time, so, you know, we can have everybody down there for dinner at a time. As far as food goes, we've got a friend of ours has a restaurant here in town called Encontro, and we've worked out a deal with him. We're basically, for the charters, we're basically doing takeout. He does most of the meal prep ahead of time, gets us set up where we can just sort of put together nice meals easily without...
That is smart.
So we're getting restaurant quality food. It's really good food that we just have to, you know...
That's a good call.
Played it together, put it together, and so that's what we've been doing. That's working out really well. It's real good food, and we can't, you know, without...
I get it.
It's too small of a boat to be able to put that type of meal together out at sea if there's any sort of weather or anything. It's just... It turns out better that way. So that's what we're doing.
And you're now able to offer restaurant quality food, and you're not doing, not that there's anything wrong with it, but you're not doing a boat cheeseburger, and you're not also taking the time to have to do all that either.
Exactly.
I think that's a great call.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, no, basically, we're making breakfast because that's easy enough, but lunch and dinner, we've got takeout meals we're putting together.
Good way to do it. Great text there. Appreciate that very much, Norm. Brandon, let's jump back into the phones.
How about Rich in Camarillo?
What's up, Rich?
Morning, guys. Great show this morning. I have a couple of questions. One, do you prefer tying straight fluorocarbon to the braid, or do you use a top shot for fly fishing for tuna? I mean, fly lining. And the second question is, when we were catching albacore, we used to see a lot of big eye most of the time mixed in with them. Do they like schooling with the albacore?
I'll answer the
top shot question.
The top shot question.
You prefer fluoro directly tied onto the Spectre, or do you like some mono in between?
I hate tying knots. The connection knots, so I cheat. I buy pre-made wind-on leaders. I usually get them from Ken, but you can get them from Rick's shop here at Fisherman's Landing. Much also,
we sell actually the same ones.
Probably the same ones. Yeah,
not probably. Yeah, I mean that in the best way. Like whether you get them from Ken or from us, they're all exactly buy it from Jamie. They're really good.
Right, they're really really good ones. And so I get those ahead of time. I get, depending on how heavy the what type of Spectre I've got, I either do a spliced loop or throw a bimini in it, and then just put the top shot on there. If it's if I'm fishing fluorocarbon, I just fish a fluorocarbon wind on leader. It's by far the cleanest connection. You've got less knots. It's easier to go through the guides. It's a superior way to go as far as I'm concerned.
That piece of fluoro.
I mean, I usually start out with a 20-foot piece, 20 or 25-foot piece, and it gets shorter, and I keep fishing it until it gets, you know, 6 or 7 feet, and then I figure it's too short, and it's time for a new one. Yeah. But you can put a lot of hooks on and during that stretch, and fluorocarbon is amazingly tough stuff, and it's far more durable than monofilament is, so that's what I like doing. On the real heavy stuff, sometimes, you know, for my heavy nighttime jigging outfit, I usually just fish 200-pound mono wind on.
Is that for the stretch factor?
The stretch helps. I think it does. You know, when you're fishing straight fluorocarbon, you got no stretch. It's much less forgiving, I think. And at nighttime, it doesn't matter. You get just as many bites on that rig as you do on anything else. So I think it, you know, your odds of success are a little bit higher that way. You get plenty of abrasion resistance in case the fish swallows the jig and is chewing on it.
We always hear people say, well, you always want fluorocarbon because it's, you know, it's such a harder material, it's got better abrasion resistance, but it takes an awful lot to chew through 200-pound mono.
Mm-hmm. Right, but if you're fishing a little bit lighter line, you know, if you're fishing 100 or 130 pound, they can chew through it, yeah. No doubt. A big bluefin, if it swallows the jig, I've seen it a lot of times, it will chew through it pretty quickly.
All right. How about big eyes? Again, since we've got the scientists in the house, we just want to throw real softball questions at them. Why do we not have albacore? Why do we not have big eye? Why do bluefin not bite? That's it. Yeah, yeah, that's all we're after.
Yeah, the easy,
yeah, you know,
right?
The softballs.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about big eyes, Danny?
You know, so I think that the question specifically was, you know, do they have similar habitat preference? Mm-hmm. And they have some habitat overlap, but they don't have exactly the same preferences. And I think that's, you know, you see at certain years in the past, you know, there was conditions that were conducive to both of them, you know, so you'd see both, you know, concurrently in the Southern California bite. Why don't we see them anymore? You know, that's a good question. I think it's probably a function of both, you know, exploitation, you know, and impact on the stock by industrial fishing, as well as, you know, the environmental conditions just haven't been conducive, you know, and you know, it's... You know, trying to put your finger on it, there's way too many covariates in there to say, you know, this is the reason why or why not. But and you know, there's probably a lot of them we have no idea what they are. So, you know, making any sort of predictions about the future are next to impossible, in my opinion.
Are there still healthy populations of them in other places?
No, I mean, the stock is healthy, but I just think that, you know, when you start, you know, exploiting, you know, a stock like that industrial, you know, with industrial means,
sure.
You know, like, you're going to have some, you know, effect.
Of course.
I mean, the stock, you know, is still, you know, at or above MSY, so... which are maximum sustainable yield. So, I think the stocks are, you know, at mm-hmm. least from the assessments that have been done in recent years, you know, show the stock to be, you know, in okay shape. But, you know, the to say there hasn't been an impact from industrial fishing is not fair.
That's right? Well answered.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, and we can all understand that.
I will say there actually was some decent big eye fishing in California last year. It's kind of interesting. Mixed with albacore, it was up by Fort Bragg.
There were some semi-significant
catches that were made up there sport fishing.
Yeah. I didn't hear about that. Were they large big eyes?
All big eyes, right? Yeah, nice ones.
Yeah,
like
most of them all, 100 to 150
wow.
pounders. Yeah,
I would love to see that in my lifetime.
The fishery of big eyes mixed with albacore and troll and fluoros was just before my time being part of our industry, and I'm familiar with it. And when I started working at the tackle store in high school, there was still big eyes being caught, but not a ton. You know, it was a little bit past the heyday, and I want that so bad to be a thing to just. I mean, that had to be such a fun thing, you know, hearing about the sport boat and guys trolling the extra large Zucker feather on the way home at high speed and their reel getting spooled or catching a big one, or, you know, guys trolling their 4-4-0s with 40-pound hoping to catch a local marlin or an albacore and having a four-way of 100-pound fish and everybody getting spooled. And I just hope that that's something that does come back around in our little zone again, because it's one of the few things that I haven't gotten really a chance to see and I would really like to.
Yeah, I think all of us agree with that. You know, the big eye in particular, for some reason, they're just an intriguing fish.
Totally.
And when you find a school of big eye tuna and they let their guard down and bite, there is absolutely not a fish in the ocean that bites better than they do. They will absolutely eat everything put before them, and they will not stop.
They go the most wide open.
Unbelievable. You know, I mean, we've had trips where we were tagging, you know, west of the Galapagos Islands, and...
Wow.
You know, we run out of tags. We have 3,000 tags loaded, and we run out of tags because they will not stop.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
If you had some sport boat trips that would concur with that, Marcus, some schools that just go absolutely crazy?
I think I'm like you. I'm a little bit too young to have really seen the real wide-open big-eye fishing. I've seen some pretty good big-eye fishing a couple of times, but not many times. And, yeah, they were biting, but it just, I think that there wasn't the volume there, you know, to really, I don't think I personally have ever seen, like, a big school of big eye ever in my life.
That's why. I'm ready. I'm ready for that to happen again. Make that happen, Danny.
Yep.
Yeah.
Working on the prediction.
All right.
I can't for the life of me understand why he's holding back the date. He knows the date.
Yeah, right. Yeah, give it to us, man. What are we
When are they coming?
When are Albacore back? You got another text for us, Brandon?
I do. I have a really interesting one that just came in from John in Mira Mesa. It says, Danny, when you do stock assessments, is the data collected primarily from the commercial fleet or a combination of the commercial and the recreational fishermen?
Yeah, so I don't do stock assessments. I try to deal with the data that goes into them. But the catch data that goes into most assessments is primarily from commercial or industrial fisheries. Sport fishing, we catch what we perceive to be a lot of fish, sport fishing, but the reality is it's insignificant in numbers. So the vast majority of the data that gets input into these, mm-hmm. very complex, stock assessment models,
sure.
is all derived from catch statistics from industrial fisheries.
So you do a lot of the, you guys provide a lot of the science to the people who make the stock assessments.
Yeah, exactly. The science we do goes directly into the assessment. So, size and maturity, mm-hmm. age and length, those sorts of things.
Got it.
Lake weight relationship,
sure.
even something as basic as that, right? All of that is data that we provide to the assessment team, and then they use that as one of the inputs into these really incredibly complicated
models. I'll bet. Yeah. It's a question that we don't have a ton of time for, but what are your thoughts on these big bluefin in terms of sexual maturity and this kind of thing? You start to hear people say one thing or another. When the fish get to the size that they are now, they swim across and they go back to Japan, yet they're still here and they're big ones. Is it the 150 pounders of the year before becoming 200 pounders now and they are going across, or do these things here, what's your opinion like on those?
Well, that's kind of a tough question, right? So it's dealt with in the assessments that they do on bluefin in a very specific way. They treat maturity as you're either mature or you're not mature, right? And so if you're mature, the model assumes that you're on the spawning grounds. But the maturation of tunas doesn't work like that, right? So you have this varying degree of maturity. So you can have bluefin tuna from, a wide range of ages becoming mature, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what ends up happening is there's a lot of fish that are still in the eastern Pacific that haven't migrated back to the spawning grounds in the East China Sea and the Sea of Japan that are of a size and of an age that they expect to be mature, but they haven't yet. So there's been quite a bit of ovaries examined here in the eastern Pacific. Our colleagues at National Marine Fisheries Service were working on a project on that, some of which I even looked at with Kurt before he retired. And none of those fish are sexually mature, which is, I think, really the question you're getting at. Are the fish in the eastern?
Yeah.
Are
they spawning out here?
They are not.
Okay.
And that is fact.
Yeah. They're here. They're eating food. They're getting big. They're getting to that size where they're going to do that, and then they boogie.
And then they go back to the spawning grounds in the western Pacific.
They do what you guys have known they have done for a while, but we haven't had these big fish, and that's been confirmed, at least so far.
Yeah, exactly. And this phenomenon occurred, a century ago, right?
Yeah.
We had
right.
A period of time,
sure.
where, in the late 1800s into the early 1900s, where there were, 100 to 200 pound bluefin tuna all over the Southern California Bay. And I'm sure there's been other periods. I mean, I know, at times, the long range boats would, have, they'd come across a spot in the winter and they'd catch a couple of 150, 200 pounders on their way to the islands or something, So it's not like these fish haven't been here.
It's just absent.
I don't think we've had access to them. I think they because of the oceanography and just various changes in what we're oceanographic conditions that we're seeing right now, I think they're more accessible.
Just in our backyard.
They're more accessible to us. And so because of that, we see the biomass. We see what's here.
That's awesome. Man, great. Well said. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing on board the Liberty. More with the boys from the Shearwater. We return. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Filet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing AFCO filet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, AFCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel, bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, AFCO filet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Filet knives from AFCO. Any fish, any water.
Season long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Case and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3 and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. It's time to find out who's going fishing on a trip on the Liberty. Danny's going to do us the honor of a flipping the prize coin here. We have...
And the prize goes to the texter, Alex in San Carlos. Good yeah. news. You're going on a full-day trip aboard the Liberty.
Congrats, Alex, for sure. A great opportunity. Boys, such a rad show. Really appreciate you taking the time. I know you both have a very busy schedule. I think the Shearwater was such a cool idea with your guys' background to get to offer private fishing trips, really targeting trophy and great fishing. You mentioned earlier that the boat is pretty full for the remainder of this year, but I'm sure still an opportunity here or there. But already it's not too early to start thinking about it for next year. If somebody wants to do all the stuff we've talked about, the great food, the RSW fish holds, the fish care that you guys provide, and more importantly, having a team of you guys behind the boat, how do we do it? Give us the rundown if we want to book a trip going fishing on the Shearwater.
Like I said, you got to start out just online, shearwatercharters.com.
All the info is there.
The info is there, and go from there.
Yeah, Marcus's phone number is on the website there.
Yes, so you can call me too.
and we send to the emails that come in, you know, on a daily basis. So any of the ways to communicate are all going to work.
And it's a private charter thing. You're chartering the whole boat. It's not an open party thing. You get your group of four or six together, you charter the boat, and away you go with you guys.
That's exactly it.
Love it, man. Great job, you guys. Lots of fun. Thanks for so much information. And, man, keep us in touch as the boat continues to roll. We'll be anxious to see how you guys do and catching those big ones. And really appreciate the time. Big thanks to Brandon for hanging and co-hosting with us, doing a fantastic job, and really appreciate you taking the time. And, hey, next weekend we got another couple of great shows coming for you. Next Saturday, Ron Lane from Fast Lane Kayaks, and then next Sunday, Nick Kelly from West Coast Marine, our Parker dealer. Going to be a lot of fun having those guys in the studio here. Pete will be back with Corey. We'll be anxious to hear how that great trip to Queen Charlotte Safari's wrapped up. Want to say a big thanks to JP for keeping us on the air. A big thanks to Adam for keeping us on the app, and a bigger thanks to you for listening. We'll look forward to talking next weekend, Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.